You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt.
So recently a journalist from Papua New Guinea, Rosalind Albanel Ivara, did I say that right? She passed away with allegations that her death was a result of domestic abuse. Her burial has since been halted by a court order until the full post-mortem report is released. I'm joined in studio by AUT Pacific Media Centre's Kendall Hutt and PhD student Stephanie Tapungu to talk about violence against women in Papua New Guinea that this story has brought to light. Kendall, would you like to start us off?
So Rosalind Albanel Ivara passed away suddenly on October 15. She was rushed into hospital in Port Moresby and she passed away later that afternoon. She was complaining of headaches prior to her death, but it's since emerged during her funeral, her aunt Mary Albanel said that she had been a victim of violence. So these are just allegations at the moment. An autopsy has gone underway. We will not know those results for another 2 weeks. So it's just a question of whether she has been a victim of domestic violence, and if so, was that the cause of her death? But Rosalind's death, she's a prominent journalist in PNG. She was the business editor of PNG's largest newspaper, the Post Courier, and her death and all the allegations surrounding her death have sparked massive debate about gender-based violence in PNG from both within the media industry itself and also the public. It also made headlines, you know, over the world. You know, we had Australia picking it up and also The Guardian in the UK. And there was a lot of criticism against the PNG Post Courier for basically relegating her funeral to page 16 and having a big rugby match on the first page, whereas its biggest rival, The National, had her funeral on the front page. And the former editor, Alexander Reaney, spoke out and said that he was disgusted and shocked that the Post Courier had made this editorial decision and that her death should have more prominence considering, you know, she was their employee. And a lot of people, also other journalists, Malam Nalo and Scott Wade, have said that her death deserves a clear explanation and that the Post Courier is a newspaper which prides itself on campaigning against gender-based violence, so why hasn't it spoken out? But what I wanted to talk to Stephanie about was, is domestic violence a taboo subject in PNG?
If you look at domestic violence, many times we come up with excuses that it's part of our lives or part of our culture. But if we look at it culturally, no women should be subjected to violence or abuse of any kind. People see it happening around them, to their family, to their friends. But the thing about us in PNG is we don't speak about it. We don't confront people about this. We have this tendency of not prying into other people's affairs. And even if it's happening to our families, the first, to our like family member, female member, the first question we seem to ask is, what did you do for him to belt you? So it's almost like it's the victim's, it's the woman's fault for doing something wrong so that she is being belted up because it's like a punishment of some sort or a correction of behavior.
Mm. And does this silence on gender-based violence in PNG, does that extend into the government? I understand that the prosecution rate of domestic violence is extremely low.
It's people do not report it because, I said earlier, we do not pry into other people's affairs, and we do not report it, even though the victims themselves do not report it for so many reasons, fears. If we read about the trend of this domestic violence in among women in PNG, both high-class working professional women and other women. It's like the common trend is I do not want to get it reported because I'm afraid for my life or I'm afraid for my children's lives. So, and they beg others not to say anything about it. But when it happens, the normal response is if she leaves the house, runs away from him, she gets comforted by a friend or a family member, and then after a while, she goes back to him and the cycle continues.
Mm. And around the same time as these allegations emerged surrounding Roslyn Albania Alvarez's sudden death, a woman in the early hours of October 23rd was dragged out of her home by a mob who accused her of practicing sorcery. Police were alerted, thankfully, and came just in time to rescue the woman who was tortured to admit that she was a witch. And we only know her as Elizabeth, and she's from the Eastern Highlands. The police fired shots, dispersed the crowd, and took the woman to hospital, and that's as much as we know about the situation so far. And Scott Wader, EMTV's lay bureau chief, was actually there that day, and he said that sorcery superstition thrives in PNG due to a lack of services, particularly around education. Do you agree with Scott's view?
That commentary really struck a nerve because I totally agree. When we get, you know, people with limited education and because of the urbanization drift that's happening and people from different parts of the country coming and living together in one area and they have different views of these things, sorcery and witchcraft and things, and when they see someone, you know, who's maybe a loner, somebody who's looks like an outsider, somebody who doesn't fit into their community norms and such, will be likely to be accused of something if a death happens and they say it's to do with sorcery or witchcraft. The thing about sorcery and witchcraft is sorcery has always been part of the culture, especially in the coastal areas. It was used as traditionally as something to keep people in line. And then just recently it just spread to the other parts of the country and to up to the highlands, where it's taken a different level of how they're interpreting this, and then killing witches or banning sorcerers. That is unheard of. I have never heard of such until recently. So
this culture of sorcery began on the coast in a positive manner, and it's filtered through into the Eastern Highlands, and it's taken a turn.
It's taken a turn, not only to the Eastern Highlands, the rest of the highlands and the other parts of the country as well. It has a different interpretation to it now. And with what Scott said about limited education, lack of services and things, it's hard to people, you know, really sit down, critically analyze these things and to see, logically see what is the cause of all these things, the cause of this death, maybe due to TB or other malaria or other things, but we tend to blame it on sorcery.
You're talking about education as a way to improve the way people are going about this. Do you think education would also be an important way to sort of change the culture on domestic violence and to sort of change the way people sort of keep their silence? Do you think education would be a good way to go about changing that?
Yes. If people are... because I personally, I think, to have an informed society, you have to have people who are educated enough to understand these issues. And for more people to be educated in to introduce, you know, critical analysis of thinking, which I think is lacking in this new reform education system we have in PNG, for people to be to be able to judge, to make the right judgment about issues. I think that is the thing that is lacking. And with the massive, we have this universal free and universal education system in PNG where we get people educated in the lower levels. Is that enough to be able to be informed and to see right from wrong? And this, so that's if education probably critically to introduce critical thinking and logical thinking into the education system would probably make a change in how people interpret these issues that's happening.
And would you say that it's the responsibility of government to drive and to change the education system for the better to prevent violence against women and also from sorcerers and alleged sorcerers and witches from being killed? Is this a more ground up approach, or is it needed from more top down, like the government?
Government is doing its best by getting many people, to be educated at the primary level, the basic level of education. I guess it will come back to people within the communities. I always say families. Comes back to the families to teach the children about the right ways. Yes, we have the cultural things there. We cannot get rid of our culture. It's there. But how do we correctly interpret this culture? I think that's the missing point there. We are misinterpreting these cultural practices that were there for generations, for 50,000 years it's been being practiced in the country, but no one has died from witch killing until this century. Mm-hmm. And that is alarming to see.
Well, kia ora. Thank you so much, Stephanie, and thank you so much, Kendall, for coming in and sharing your insights on these issues. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.